This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It is Wednesday, March the 27th. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It might be a little weird in terms of the audio because I am out driving. It is a beautiful day in Edmonds, Washington. I have wrapped up work for the day, for the day job, and I wanted to get to the podcast. But before I get started, I just wanted to send a very heartfelt thank you out to the patrons of the show. I got a really nice message from one of the new patrons, Adrian. So let's do a shout out and a thank you to Adrian, and let's do another one for Stan. Thank you, Stan. And then one for Kristen, one for Sarah, Helen, Arnie, Barb. I love you, Barb. You know that. And Kim. So Patreon is a place for creators. If you have a YouTube show, if you have a podcast, if you're a musician online that's trying to make it, Patreon is a great place to make a contribution to whatever it is that that person is doing. So in my case, my full-time job is in sales. However, I do feel as if this podcast gives a tremendous amount of value to people. It does cost money to publish. It costs money to produce. It costs time to put together. And ultimately, the equipment also has costs associated to it as well. So you can go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast if you're interested. And also, I would love to plug, so I've got a Facebook page that you can go on and you can like. I don't really post anything there other than, hey, here's a new episode of the podcast. But just in the last couple of days, in the group that I have, which is called the Mind and Fitness Podcast, Deleters of Pain, and if you're interested in joining, join. But something I've started doing because the job that I have, I do a fair amount of driving. If I'm like driving to a place where I'm doing a meeting, as an example, I am on the road so much, and so I thought it'd be cool to do some live Q&As. So I've done a couple in the last couple of days, and a small handful of people have shown up because ultimately I don't usually even know when it is. You'll just get a notification on your phone or your computer that I've gone live, and it enables you to kind of jump on and do some one-on-one stuff. I think that I can even have like a guest, like if one of you wants to be a part of the video, I think you can do it. So that is that's obviously super cool. So it's an option for you, but go on and join the group if you are interested in checking out some of those live videos. And then I always click to share whatever that video was, the Q&A, to the group. So you'll get a pretty consistent daily video simply by joining the group. So go and check it out. I wanted to kind of wrap up, put a bow on last week's episode with Jessica Shahinian. It was awesome. I got a lot of really good feedback from it. People that are interested in that story of all those diagnoses and, you know, fibromyalgia and herniated discs and intestinal bleeding and all this stuff. It was crazy. So if you're interested in hearing more about that, if you didn't listen to it, go back in the archives and listen to it. I think it'll be a good listen. You know, today I want to, I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer, and actually the title of the podcast is very deceiving. It's called Fuck Positivity, right? And again, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I just feel like there is, especially as we get into the springtime and the summertime, there's this quote I see online all the time, positive vibes only. And though inherently it sounds very good, and I think that on the surface it does seem really good and well-intentioned, you know, to have positive vibes and only have positive energy and all this kind of stuff, where people get into trouble, the whole idea and the whole concept of chronic pain and TMS, tension myositis syndrome, tension myoneural syndrome, and a lot of these chronic conditions people have are the result of emotional repression. And emotional repression, all that is, it could be a variety of things. It could be trauma from the childhood that you're trying to forget, thus repress. But it could be, you know, day-to-day stressors, your kids or your husband or your wife or your spouse or your partner or your boss or the traffic that you sat in today or the fact that your motorcycle's broken and you needed to go get fixed. Could be a variety of things. But those things are very infuriating and very enraging to the unconscious mind, which is what's residing here. And so by repressing it and not just acknowledging that it's there and those feelings are there and how I feel is there, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is make sure that you're addressing that. In fact, negative stuff happens. This is hard. Life is hard. Parenting is hard. My job is hard. And it makes me upset or it makes me angry or this made me sad. Because we're in such a society today where we're supposed to be putting on this happy face, positive vibes only again. So I think positive vibes only is okay if you're making sure that you're truly identifying and putting a label on the stuff that is bad. Thus, you're not having the repression. So this is something that is it's near and dear to my heart simply because there's just a lot of people in my life that I know that subscribe to this positive vibes only thing, and yet I see a lot of continuous health issues for a long, long, long time. Or maybe one thing gets healed and goes away, and then another thing shows up. And I think a lot of that just has to do with, yeah, like I get the positive vibes only thing, but ultimately are you doing everything you need to do? Are you addressing all the different needs that you have? And so I think that's a big component of this. And so positive vibes only, yeah. I think that's it's something that, again, I hear a lot, and I just don't think that it's doing a lot of justice to people. And it actually made me think, because I got asked, there's a couple of members of some of these TMS groups that get incredibly frustrated on with their symptoms. I just need this to go away. I just need this to go away. And I thought of an analogy the other day because, you know, just needing this to go away and such, person in the car next to me is watching me recording. But I just need this to go away. This has to go away. I want my life back. I just want my life back. All of these things they're fighting terms, fight or flight, if you will. And what it made me think about is a grizzly bear. So we all know the term or the concept around playing dead. So imagine for a second that you're out on a hike. And a grizzly bear comes up, and that grizzly bear attacks you. You have an option. You can fight that grizzly bear to the death, to which that may happen to you. Fight it. But I feel like the stories that we hear about people that survive attacks, whether it's a bear or a mountain lion or, you know, whatever this is. I'm in the Pacific Northwest, so I feel like we hear about these things occasionally. Not commonly, but occasionally. And I feel like inevitably the people that make it out okay are the ones who played dead. Thus, they essentially surrendered. They gave up. The fight was over. So by playing dead, the grizzly leaves and the threat goes away. And then you have the opportunity to recover and ultimately heal from what this bear has just done to you, right? So they're extreme examples, but that was one thing that came to mind recently is ultimately like this continuous fight. Steve Ozanich talks about it a lot in his book, that really the best thing to do to heal is to heal. And actually, as you hear this, yesterday, Caitlin Michaels put out a podcast that I think you should go listen to, the Mind Body Mastery podcast if you're not already. But she had talked about basically doing too much to heal, or I'm doing so much to heal, and maybe the thing that you need to do is ultimately stop trying. I noticed that when I try, like almost like the more I try sometimes, the worse that it would get. And actually recently this reminds me of, it's like I just sometimes like I'll get caught in that trap, right, where I'm like, okay, I'm feeling pretty good, why don't we feel a little bit better? And so I'll stretch my, for instance, I'll stretch my glutes. I'll start like working on my glutes. I'll use a lacrosse ball and I'll stretch them out and all that kind of stuff. And it feels good. Like I feel so loose and I feel so dynamic. And, you know, a couple hours goes by and then it kind of starts to retighten up. So I stretch it out a little bit more and then it retightens up even worse. It's almost like whiplash. And that's the same idea. It's like whatever you're resisting is going to persist. And there's been some PTs that I've talked to on this very show that, you know, we've talked about stretching and the muscle system and the fascia system, or the fascia network. I don't know what we would call it. Myofascial system. That actually sounds right. That basically, like, it doesn't matter at all if you can stretch all that you want, but if the muscle tissue is being kept in sympathetic fight or flight, ultimately it's going to continue to stay stiff and grisly, pun intended, stiff and grisly, and ultimately it's never going to really provide you with any sort of benefit. And in all likelihood, it's going to make you worse. So if we need to, maybe this is a good opportunity to sort of review the physiology of TMS. And it actually makes me think, I've brought this up on the podcast before, there's this guy, I don't even think he's a real human, or at least the name isn't real, because I've tried to find him online, whether it be on social media or other places. Eddie Gorman, I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but he emails two or three times a week, sometimes four times a week, guys like me, Alan Gordon, Ira Rushbaum, David Clark. I don't know if he emails David Hanscom, but there's a lot of people that do this kind of work, that have a voice out there, that talk about this kind of stuff. And he emails us two, three, four times a week telling us that everything we're saying is completely wrong, However, all that he'll say is that we need to say that it's an epidemic. And if we say that it's an epidemic, somehow that means that we'll be correct. I actually asked him, hey, if you've got great ideas, you know, this podcast only exists. The only reason that it is around, that I dedicate the time that I do to it, is ultimately to see people get on with their lives and be healthy and happy. As Wim Hof says, you have the right to be strong, you have the right to be healthy, you have the right to be happy. And I spent so much time being miserable and in pain, and I don't want anybody to go through that, even my worst enemies, which is tough to say that because I'm a guy that holds a grudge, and that's probably a lot of what got me into this thing to begin with. But I just don't want anybody to feel that. And so he had declined, said he didn't want to talk on a public forum or anything like that. And even when we email back and forth, I just usually get some kind of a flippant couple of sentences response and nothing of bigger substance than that, which is a bummer because if he really does have a great idea that could spread out there, then I think it's worth it. But what I think he's trying to say about it being an epidemic is that essentially it's taking over people at sweeping mass, essentially. And I don't really know what that does to help anybody. But be that as it may, I think about the ulcers of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then kind of started to taper off in the 90s. It's still a term and still a concept that a lot of people can grasp. Oh, he was so stressed out in his job that he gave himself an ulcer. So like that now is in the collective consciousness of that's a stress-related thing, and so we don't really have to pay, we don't really have to pay any more attention to it. We know what the root cause is. And so as Nicole Sachs has said a lot recently, I feel like the guard is being changed a lot. And I'm hearing a lot more about this. They had Aetna did those commercials recently. I feel like I'm seeing it in more publications. It's just out there a little bit more. I mean, even in comedy shows, Dr. Sarno's name gets brought up. Orange is the New Black. It was in that last year, maybe a couple of years ago. So the word is definitely out there, the collective consciousness of it. But being able to put together back pain or really any chronic issue to unconscious emotion, I think, is where people get such a disconnect. And so again, the physiology behind TMS is that your body is in a fight or flight response. So the autonomic nervous system, which is the part of your nervous system that basically does everything to which you are not in control of. So your breathing, how your blood moves in your body. What are some more examples? Yeah, I mean, those are going to be the big ones, how your nerves interact, all sorts of things. And I'm bringing this up in the car, which I think is interesting, because I've done this route that I'm driving so many times that it has become unconscious, subconscious. I don't even have to think about it. I'm thinking about driving. If something runs out in front of me, I'll probably catch it before I run into it. But I think the interesting thing is just that it's become ingrained, because this is what I've done so many times. The repetitions are there. And so the whole concept of TMS is that you're stuck in this sympathetic system. The autonomic nervous system has two branches. There's the sympathetic, which is fight or flight, stressed out, running from a bear, whatever it is that you want to call it, your job, your a saber-toothed tiger, your wife yelling at you, your kids driving you nuts, whatever the case is. And then there's the parasympathetic side, which is rest and digest. So, going to yoga, taking a nice nature walk, really just relaxing, ultimately. And so that sympathetic side has been switched on by something, a lot of things, actually. And if we're out in the wild and we go into a hike and we see a grizzly bear, suddenly, you know, our hair stands up, we get that rush of adrenaline and cortisol and all that good stuff that's going to help us combat the bear and keep ourselves alive. But if the bear turns around and walks away, you're going to come off of that. And so the challenge with TMS and what's happening is that you have so much exposure to things that are hyping you up on the inside, and you're repressing them. Like, we know the logical mind of me, who has two daughters whom I love, 4.5 years old and 1 year old, Zoe and Audrey, my babies. I love them with all my heart. However, there are really frustrating times as a parent. The conscious side of me could never say that. Of course, Zoe's going to be highly opinionated and very frustrating at times and make me really angry. But she's a kid, Eddie, so, you know, no need to worry about that. I'm not addressing that deeper need that says, God, she is really like a piece of work today, and actually acknowledging that it's there. So by doing this kind of thing repeatedly, say that she makes me angry 15 days in a row, and I just say, oh, she's just a kid, you know, don't worry about it, 15 days in a row, I get a lot of exposure to this sympathetic side of the nervous system that's just amping me up. And that's where the disruptions in the autonomic nervous system happen. So my circulation starts to be different. My cortisol levels are higher. It's going to be tougher for me to lose weight. My workouts might be less effective. I may not be as strong. My sleep might get worse. Like, there's so many different things that happen as a result of the autonomic nervous system. And the whole idea of this being an unconscious emotional process, because I see a lot of people on Facebook and social media when they're talking about, I had a tough emotional day. Those things that were really tough probably are not what is giving you symptoms. It's an unfelt thing. It's a repressed thing. So if you have a really shitty day, if you are going through the act of saying this was a shitty day and bad stuff happened and this made me angry and I cried over this, then you're not repressing. So it's not a part of the problem. So it's not something that you're even aware of because it slipped through and you just haven't even thought about it. So that's a big thing to keep in mind and to remember, is that ultimately your nervous system being on high alert is something that is there because of something that is unfelt, something that you haven't addressed, which is why for some people it's a lot of childhood trauma, things that they forget. Dr. Sarno had that great story in his book about a woman who had been raped, and suddenly it came to her, and that was the reason, and she had essentially a release of anger. And her pain completely went away in the moment. Most people are never going to have that. 99.9% of people, maybe even more, are never going to have that one moment. And they're never, likely, never going to be able to identify the one principal emotion or the one principal moment in their life that caused them to go into pain, because it is a reservoir of rage. It's like a beaker being filled up. Imagine a soda can. And when you're born, this soda can is zero. You have no prejudgments about people. You have you basically, you're born with an empty soda can, and as the years roll on, you're teased as a kid, maybe your dad spanked you, and then you get into adulthood and finances, and then you buy a house and the mortgage payments are really high, and maybe you miss a car payment, and then you are single and you really would like to be married. Like, there's all these things that add up. And because you're like, oh, well, this is life, and that's just how this is, you're repressing. And if you're a parent, I love Nicole Sachs' story that she tells on her YouTube show and in her book, where she talks about having kids. And for a long time, she was saying, oh, you know, I'm tired, but this is what being a mother is. And so she's repressing it. She's pushing it away, and she's pushing it away because it shouldn't seem like a big deal. We're a very polite society. And so ultimately, by pushing this stuff away and shoving it down, you're not doing yourself any favors. It may seem like, oh, cool-headed Eddie is prevailing again. But cool-headed Eddie is Eddie that's in pain. And Eddie's probably smiling even though he feels like complete shit. So being more real with yourself, and then also being just kinder to yourself. I think sometimes, and I know for a long time, it took me 9 months of therapy to be able to say out loud, and I've told this story before, to be able to say out loud that my daughter Zoe makes me upset sometimes, because the ego inside of me would never allow good dad Eddie to say that. It's just not a part of who I am. Let me tell you that if I started to even feel that way 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have beaten the shit out of myself for even coming close to feeling that way. But now, being kinder to myself and recognizing, hey, like, we have those feelings. And it's a feeling, and I feel upset, and, you know, so what? I'm gonna be okay. I'm sending that message to my nervous system that, hey, man, I hear you, and I hear that you're upset, and I am here for you, and it's going to be okay. That's a far stretch from positive vibes only. It's just only positivity. I just want to talk about positivity and post happy memes on the internet and all that kind of stuff. You just got to give yourself a voice. That's really all that you got to do, is give yourself a voice. That's a huge component of what this is. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. This has been 19 Minutes in the Car with Eddie. Next couple of weeks coming up. So the Caitlin Michaels episode, which has been postponed twice now, her and I are recording via Skype on Friday. We're going to answer all the questions that people sent over to us. It's going to be pretty awesome. And then next week is likely, I'm debating about exactly when it's going to air. Not next week. So April 3rd, I think, is the date that you're going to hear Caitlin Michaels. The week after that, you're either going to hear from me, or I did an interview with a CrossFit coach in the Cayman Islands that I thought was pretty cool, that could air. So we'll see. And I'm looking to to record some more interviews. I'm kind of new at this job, and so it's tough to be able to set aside an hour to do interviews the way that it was. But once I get once I get settled and everything like that, it'll be much easier, because there are quite a few recovery stories of people that have emailed me and messaged me that that ultimately I need to respond to, and I need to get them on the show. So we're going to get those set up. Stay calm, stay cool. DM me if you need anything. Join the Facebook group, because again, Q&A's are happening. Like earlier today, I just shot out a post that said, hey, I'm going to be live in 30 to 45 minutes, and three people showed up, and it was cool. I answered some questions and addressed some things, and it's cool interacting with people at a little bit different level. So thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week. Oh, and by the way, as you hear this, March 27th, Wednesday, March 27th, it is my birthday. I am 33 years old, which I don't think I'm in my mid-30s yet by having that, but it's a great time of the year. I'm a big wrestling geek, as I've said. My birthday always lands around WrestleMania season, so we are right in the throw of things in the WWE, and I love that. The geek in me loves that. So have a great day. Have a great week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take care.